As we remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The country band Alabama, quite a few years ago, put out a song whose refrain describes quite well, I think, a common sentiment in our Canadian society these days. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and I rush until life's no fun. I'm not going to sing this. All I really got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. Many sociologists argue that in North America, busyness and overloaded schedules have become almost cultural values, in that if we're busy and if we're overloaded, it means that we are efficient managers of our time. And while I can see that is true, I struggle to believe that people actually enjoy feeling constantly under pressure, constantly pressured for time. Many of us, and I certainly include myself in that many, complain that there are not enough hours in the day to get everything done. And if only there was an extra 24 hours in the week, maybe it would be possible. Time is a precious commodity, right? It's a commodity that we do not feel we can afford to waste. And in the GTA, I don't know if it's different in Toronto, but certainly in the suburbs, you know, where we're a commuting town, we are so used to this relentless pace of life that it can be hard to believe that it's possible to live differently. But of course, not all cultures have this kind of intense relationship to time. I know when I lived in Burkina Faso in Africa, time was not so carefully micromanaged in minutes and seconds. I remember when I would be arranging to meet with someone, they would say, well, we'll meet when the sun is here, which is pretty broad. Time moved there at a gentler clip. Now, in one sense, I think we North Americans, we have it right, in that time is precious, isn't it? It's precious. There are only so many hours in the day, and for all of us, our time here that we are given on earth is finite. It's right for us to be concerned. It's right for us to take care about how we manage this limited resource that is ours. But while our culture correctly points us, I think, to the value of time, to its preciousness, I don't believe our culture can reliably tell us what time is for, what it's meant for. Or at least, I'm suspicious, just a little suspicious, about what our culture is telling us time is for. When I listen to the voices in our culture, this is what I hear our culture saying time is for. That time is money. That time is for earning to consume or working to succeed. That time is for productivity. That time is for the pursuit of happiness. And while there's definitely elements of truth in each of these, I think they're just a little off. Or maybe it's not that they're off, but they're definitely not complete. They don't give us a complete and whole picture. Although we are quite possibly the most time-pressured society yet to exist, I think, in human history, wondering how to make sense of time really is not a modern problem. In Psalm 90, which we heard a portion this morning, the poet begs God to teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So somehow wisdom is tied in with how we use our time. Apparently, wondering about how to wisely spend time is a challenge that predates time management consultants. The good news for us as Christians is that Scripture does offer us some really clear guidance as to what time is for. And in the next few weeks leading up to Advent, we'll be, it's hard to believe that it's only weeks away. In the next few weeks leading up to Advent, we'll be looking at what our faith, Christian faith, has to teach us about time and about really healthy ways that we can transform our relationship to time. And while Scripture definitely echoes our North American sense that time is fleeting and always running away from us, there are godly purposes for time in God's economy, and this is important to hear, there is time enough for that. There is never enough time for everything, but there is enough time for what matters. There's enough time for what is important. In order to discover what time is for, though, we have to know what God created us for as creatures in time. And we talked a little bit about this last spring. If we look to the opening chapters in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, we're told that we're made in the image of God, who was a worker, God who worked in creation, and on the seventh day rested. God stopped working, and he declared that time of rest good and holy. So this is where we get our first two sermon topics. Next week, we're going to look at the fact that there's a time for work and that there's goodness in using time for work. And the following Sunday, we'll look at the fact that time is also for rest. So time is for rest and for work, and these are two good and godly purposes for human time. We also learn in the opening chapters of Genesis that as humans, we were created to be in relationship. And we were created especially to be in relationship with other humans. Remember when God looked at Adam, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so it's God who created human community. And of course, we were also made to be in relationship with God, our Creator. Remember in Genesis, it depicts God as walking in the garden and in relationship with the two gardeners, Adam and Eve. In Genesis, we hear, though, that outside the garden, things change and it's not for the better. Because of sin, that easy and comfortable relationship with God becomes disordered. The introduction of greed, dishonesty, adultery, lying into the mix means that human relationships, they're often spoiled. They're not as easy as they once used to be. And repairing human relationships, whether we're talking about relationships with spouses or children or grandchildren or friends, neighbors, colleagues, it takes work. It's a different kind of work than the work of tilling the soil so that there's food on the table, but it's work nonetheless. I would say it's the work of love, right? Or the work of peacemaking, the work of redressing injustice, of binding up wounds. And we hear the prophets and apostles talk of a new kind of godly purpose for a new kind of godly purpose for time. Namely, there's a time for serving, a time for serving others, for repair work, for renewing the bonds of human relationships. And that's the third in our series. And we also hear in Genesis that it's not just human relationships that are changed outside the garden. It's our relationship with God. It becomes so much more easy to forget God. That's a lot of the story of the Old Testament, right? It's the people of Israel forgetting God because there's so much going on. There's so many things to do in order just to survive. And it is so easy to forget. in our preoccupation with life's struggles, and we fall again and again into sin. And so how does God respond to our forgetting? Well, in the Old Testament, we hear God calling his people home. And again, God calls his people to remember. He calls them to remember for what reason they were created, for his good purposes for them, and that they were called Israel to be a blessing to all nations. And so God, understanding how easy it is for us as humans to forget, he commanded that Israel set aside time, that they create sacred time, that there was time sacred to the Lord, special feasts and special seasons, to draw people into fellowship with God and with one another, to renew their hearts and minds. And for those of you who know a little bit about Judaism or in reading the Old Testament, you'll know about their feasts and their festivals, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Weeks, the Passover, and of course the weekly Shabbat, which they call the Day of Joy. This notion of a sacred time, of time that's set aside for God and for the whole community, is embraced and it's fleshed out in new ways in the church as we set aside weekly time to break bread together and as we developed in church history our own pattern of feast days and special seasons like Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter. So there's a time for feasting and for worship and remembering God as a community, and that too is one of God's good purposes for time. And if we want to know how humans are to spend time well, what better exemplar can we look for than Jesus our Lord? Jesus, the Son of God, fully human. Jesus was a hard worker, right? Nobody could say that Jesus was a slacker. He trained as a carpenter. He earned his living for a time as a carpenter, learning the trade probably of his father. And in his 30s, he worked hard at his itinerant ministry, preaching, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. He was busy. He was really busy because he was constantly in demand. And yet, I love the sound of little laughter. Such a great sound. He was really busy. And yet he found time, he made time, he took time to pray with him on his own and with others to renew his relationship with his Father. He entered with joy into the sacred times of his faith. If you follow along in the Gospels, you can hear, right? It was at the season of the Passover, Jesus and his disciples. He worshipped in the synagogue, even though he was Lord of the Sabbath, and even though it wasn't out of any personal need for edification or instruction, that he participated in the life of the community as they collectively remembered God and renewed their hearts and minds in worship of the Lord. He fulfilled his adult ministry in 3 short years, but he always made time for rest, to play with children, to investigate a sick fig tree, to take naps in boats and by wells. He took time to go to dinner parties and wedding receptions and funerals and to eat meals at his friend's house. I wonder what Jesus would want to say to us in our hurried world today. As you think about our culture's relationship with time, what do you think Jesus might want to bless? What might he want to affirm? As I was thinking about that question myself, I wondered if it was maybe our recognition about the preciousness of time, that time is precious and that it is a gift that we don't want to waste or squander without thinking about it purposefully. What do you think about our relationship with time that he would want to heal, that he would want to bring his healing touch to. As I was thinking about it, maybe this is a reflection of where I'm at, but I wonder if he might want to speak healing into our relentless striving that can lead us into non-stop busyness. Remember what Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What about our relationship with time? Do you think Jesus would want to challenge? I wondered if perhaps he might want to challenge our notion that time is ours, that time belongs to us, instead of time as a gift from God, as God's gift to us, and with particular purposes that God intends for that gift of time. And what about your relationship to time? Each of us are coming from very different worlds, very different stages of our lives, but what about your relationship right now with time? Is there anything about the way you manage time that Christ would bless, that Christ might want to heal, or that Christ might want to challenge? But for now, we have come to worship God and to do so with glad and with grateful hearts. Now is the time for worship. It is a good use of time, and it is a good time to be here together. And this morning we have all the time that we need to worship him in grace and in truth. Let us pray. Loving God, we recognize that you are Lord of our times. And we thank you that in your Son you came with us and dwelt in time, and that you know both what a gift and what a burden time can be. Help us as we enter this period of reflection on your purposes to time to learn how to manage our time, the gift of time you've given each one of us, to manage that time wisely and well and with joy. And we pray that in this time we have together now, that your Spirit would move in this place in our hearts and minds to renew and refresh our hearts and minds in love and commitment to you. Help us to remember you. We pray these things with glad hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.